Good evening. It's good to see everybody out. Appreciate the opportunity to be here. Me and Tori and Ace are glad to be here. I consider it an honor and a privilege anytime I'm asked to present the gospel, and so I thank y'all for having us. We're going to start with opening up to the reading. I appreciate you reading that for me. Matthew chapter 7. And we're going to focus specifically on verses 13 and 14. And we'll make some application. You know, we only have two options in this life, two choices ultimately. It comes down to whether we're going to live a righteous spiritual life or whether we're going to live an unrighteous sinful life. So we're either going to be saints or we're going to be sinners. And that presents us with two paths that we'll take. We'll either be saints on the road to heaven or sinners on the way and running towards death and ruin. And most people think that being a Christian is hard. They think it's difficult. And we have to admit that the way of the Christian is straight and narrow. We just read that from the Word. And according to the passage, there's few that find it. It's the more difficult route. The Bible also tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 that we'll face persecution while on this path. Also, being a Christian requires us to abstain from certain things that are pleasurable to the flesh. Things that we might enjoy doing. Our sinful nature causes us to want to do things, worldly things. And we've got to abstain from those things as a Christian. For example, what we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21. We'll turn over there. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19, says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." But yet we read in Matthew chapter 11, verse 30, where it tells us that Christ's yoke is easy and that his burden is light. And so I want to look at, from a biblical sense, that the way of the Christian, instead of the way of the Christian being hard, I want to look at that the way of the transgressor is hard. His life is going to be more difficult, I believe the Bible will show us, here while on earth, but we know for a fact that it's going to be much more difficult whenever he faces eternity. And I think most of us would agree that both are true, but I think a lot of Christians might agree that only living a Christian life is beneficial in view of eternity. And you know, you can take it or leave it here on earth. It may not improve your quality of life. It'll definitely, you know, help you in eternity. But I think that Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10 will clarify for us that living a Christian life is beneficial both here on earth as well as in eternity. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10 says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people." And I think that if we're going to have his laws in our mind and for them to be written on our heart, we have to see that living a Christian life is beneficial for us while we're here on earth. God gave us his commandments, gave us the way to live in order to do us good. You know, God didn't create us to try and hurt us. His commandments are for our better good. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 24 tells us that. And in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 17, it tells us that the man who obeys the word of God preserves himself from evil. And so the scriptures make it clear that anybody who violates the law of God is a transgressor. And it also makes it clear that we've all sinned. Thus, we're all transgressors. And the different sins, the different ways that you can sin are countless. But I want to look at a few different levels. I know there's no severity of sin. A sin is a sin, and any sin will send you to hell. But there's people out there that just completely deny the existence of God. They mock people that could believe such a silly thing. They make fun of people that try to live a moral life. And they just have a blatant disregard for anything spiritual. Then there's people that really just don't care. Maybe there is a God. Maybe there isn't. It doesn't make a difference to them. It doesn't affect their life whatsoever. And maybe they too mock people that try to live a spiritual, moral life. But then there's people that are trying. And maybe they have difficulty with one particular thing. Maybe it's profanity. They use bad language. It's a bad habit that they're struggling to get out of. They use God's name in vain, or maybe even euphemisms. Maybe they struggle with lust, jealousy, envy. Somebody that's money mad. That's all they can think about all the time, is how they're going to make their next dollar, and it doesn't matter what it takes for them to get rich. Maybe somebody struggles with their temper, or someone struggles with drugs or alcohol. Regardless of what the sin is, regardless of the degree, to disobey God is to neglect the great salvation that He's laid out for us and causes us to be on the way of the transgressor. Like we said, the way of the transgressor is the broad way. It's the easy way. It falls right in line with our fleshly, carnal nature. If you've got a disregard for spirituality, it's the easiest path to take. It's the path of least resistance. If living a sinful life wasn't fun, people wouldn't be doing it. If it was easy, everybody would be a Christian. But that's how it starts. The way of the transgressor starts out real fun. But it gets worse and worse as you go on. And even if it turns out great in this life, eternally the price to pay is going to be hell. So I've got an article that my dad put into the bulletin. He arranges it at Underwood Heights. Got it in my phone. Bear with me for 1 second while I pull it up. And it's titled, "You Knew I Was a Snake" by Jimmy Tutton. And it says, there's an old tale about a peasant who, while being in his field, came across a snake. He raised his hoe to kill it, but the snake begged for mercy and said, "I'm frozen and I'm too cold to do any harm," it cried. So the farmer, full of compassion, picked up the half-dead serpent and put it in his tunic against his chest. And began to work. Then the snake got warmer and warmer, and suddenly the snake bit the peasant, who frantically reached in and pulled it out, throwing it to the ground. "Why?" asked the man. "I befriended you. I trusted you." "True," hissed the snake as it slithered away. "But don't blame me. You knew I was a snake when you picked me up." Like Moses of old, many people know that sin's pleasures are but for a season. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. That the world will pass away in the lust thereof. 1 John 2, 16 and 17. Yet they continue to indulge in the pleasure of sin. They take sin into their bosom and go about their business. Someday, when these things have passed away and they are faced with eternity, they will cry out against sin and accuse it. But it will be too late. Sin will reply, "You knew I was but for a season. Don't blame me." And truly, one cannot blame sin without the warning of God being what it is. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. This death is eternal separation from God through eternity. Here it expressed in 2 Thessalonians 1:9, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Imagine what it's going to be like in hell. People blaming sin for the death which is their wages for having served sin. Can't you hear them saying, "How could you do this to me?" But sin will reply, "You knew I was sin." So the way of the transgressor, it's heavily populated. It's the most popular path. The majority choose to go the way of the transgressor. The rich, the poor, the young, the old, the educated, the uneducated. You look at any profession, any trade, any country, county, city, state, neighborhood. You take any group of people, and the majority of them are going to be on the way of the transgressor. But as we get into the lesson, I want to specifically look at six things that characterize the way of the transgressor. And the first one is that the way of the transgressor is the way of bitterness. And I know as well as anyone that people start out on the way of the transgressor expecting to find happiness. This lesson is actually a flip side to a lesson that I've been working on for quite a while, titled True Happiness in Jesus, where we looked at the fact that our flesh is never going to be satisfied. We're always going to want more and more and more fleshly, carnal things. The only thing that can truly be satisfied is our soul through Jesus. But that didn't stop me or the majority of other people in the world from trying to find it. I talked to several in here that know my father, grandfather, brother, cousin. It might be hard knowing my family to believe that I was arrested 6 times between the ages of 18 and 20 for everything from theft to burglary to assault with a deadly weapon, DUI, possession. I was going down the way of the transgressor. And I was looking for that happiness in things that weren't fulfilling. I was a danger to society. I wouldn't have known if I would have hit somebody and killed them. I drove home many a night and don't remember how I got there. Took out many a mailbox and a curb that could have just as easily been a child. But thankfully, I made it out of that. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't. Now, I want to make a couple of applications before we get further into the lesson. The first being that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your last name is or who your family is. Your family won't get you into heaven. You've got to make that choice yourself. But if you know somebody that's living on the way of the transgressor, living a life of error, there's always hope. As long as they know what's right, as long as you can still reach them, it may take consequences. For me, it took 4.5 months in the county jail and 9.5 months on community corrections to realize that wasn't the type of lifestyle I wanted to live. But thankfully, I knew what was right, and so I turned back before it was too late. But if you're living a righteous life, you probably already know this, but you've made the right choice. You're not missing out on anything living the way of the transgressor. So we'll move on. Whether it's drugs, alcohol, sinful relations, the sinful love of money, the acquisition of money, whatever the case may be, it doesn't last. It feels great for a moment, but eventually the bad is going to way outweigh the good. Sometimes it's because you die. Maybe from contamination due to drugs, from STDs related to immoral relationships, violence related to that type of lifestyle. But a lot of times, you don't die. You just wish you would die. You suffer the pain, you suffer the turmoil of the life that you've created before it ever kills you. And let's say you don't get sick. Maybe you don't die. You do good for yourself. You know, you neglect God, but you gain a fortune in this life. You live a life paved with all the finer things. You live an extravagant life, but in the end, you find that, like Solomon said, all is vexation and vanity of spirit, there in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 11. Because let's say maybe a young person or even an old person decides they're going to neglect God to enjoy sin for a season. They build up an estate, and it destroys their home. Not just a house, it destroys their home, their family, their possessions. It eats up their wealth. They maybe go bankrupt and lose everything, and they've given up their eternal hope for this hope of things here on earth, and then that's gone. What hope do you have left? You've lost the treasure that you worked for so hard here on earth. You haven't been laying up treasures in heaven, and now you're left with nothing, and that creates bitterness. And that's one of the first characteristics of the way of the transgressor, is that it's the way of bitterness. Second point is that it's the way of hardness of heart. If somebody hears the gospel and they realize that they need to make a change and that they're not living right and they continue to live a sinful life, it's going to take a hardness of heart. Sin is not going to feel the same anymore once you've got that conviction. While they may go on sinning and they may die in sin and spend eternity in hellfire, they're going to have a conscience that will convict them of their sins. If somebody's living the way of the transgressor, especially when it doesn't turn out as well as they thought it would, but even if it does, it requires that hardness of heart, just like Saul there on the road to Damascus. Acts chapter 26, verse 14, Jesus tells them, you know, it's hard to kick against the prick. It's hard to get the kick against the goats. But if you do, you're going to have to harden your heart to do so. I had a close friend whenever I was living in Huntsville, attended UAH for a little while. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time, involved in the wrong things, and was shot and killed. But the thing was, I would have been the one giving him the ride that evening had I not chosen to go to the services. It was a Wednesday night, and I wasn't living the type of life that I should, but for some reason I thought, you know, I should go to services tonight. Told him I couldn't give him a ride, and that same night, he was shot and killed, and I could have just as easily been in that situation. And I think that shows the power of prayer. I had a lot of people praying for me at that time. but also I was able to see the error of my way before my heart was so hardened that I couldn't turn. We can see the consequences of somebody that their heart hardens before they see the error of their way in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 5. Says that after thy hardness and impotent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. And so we see there, due to the hardness of heart, he goes on in the following verses to tell about the honor, the peace that the righteous will receive, and then of course the anguish and the tribulation that the unrighteous will receive. And so the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is the way to hardness of heart. It's also the way to lose everything. We can see a perfect example in the rich man and Lazarus. Luke chapter 16, you're probably all familiar with the story there, with the account there. Luke chapter 16, and we're just going to specifically look at verse 25. Luke chapter 16, verse 25 says, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." And so the rich man, of course, well, the previous rich man, he's no longer rich now that he's in torment there. But he had all the things he could ever want while on earth, and Lazarus had nothing. But then in eternity, we see the rich man had nothing, and Lazarus had everything he could ever want. And there's people like that now. They think they've made it. You know, they've got everything they could ever want. They've got the big houses, maybe a couple of houses. They've got the property, you know, the things, the toys. They've got a family. They're happily married with children that are successful. But they think, you know, I don't have any use for the gospel. To each their own is a popular phrase. I now have an opportunity to meet with recovering drug addicts and alcoholics on a pretty regular basis. And that's something they're real big on. They'll give all the glory to God, but not the God of the Bible. You know, they say to each their own, you do what works for you, and I'll do what works for me. It's all about a higher power and a spiritual program, but not a religious program. I don't want to hear anything about religion. I just want my spirituality, my feel good. And so, you know, they say to each their own, if it works for you, you do it. You want to go to church, you do it. But I don't want to. To each their own. And there was a guy like that. A preacher tells a story about a family that he knew, and he had constantly tried to get this guy to see his need for Jesus, and he kept telling him to each his own. And one day the guy comes in, tells his wife that he's having some pain in his shoulder, and sends him to the kitchen to get him a drink. And as she goes in there, she hears a loud thud and comes back, and he's dead. The guy was maybe 50 years old. The wife goes into deep depression, ends up being diagnosed with cancer, dies a few years later. The children are on drugs, in and out of prison, eat up his estate, all the money's gone because they squander. And we hear those stories over and over again. I hear them a lot, where the people come in there, and grown men, people that have worked their entire lives to build up things for themselves, even a good name, and they've ruined it. They've lost their families, they've lost their jobs, they've lost their possessions, and they'll probably never get them back regardless of how good and moral a lifestyle they live from this point forward, because they've made their beds and now they have to sleep in it. Now in tears, they realize the poor decisions that they made are going to stick with them for the rest of their lives. The way of the transgressor is hard, and it's the way to lose everything. The way of the transgressor is the way to a misspent life. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4, and in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And as I think about my life, that characterized me a lot. I was that fool that despised wisdom. I thought I was smarter than people a lot of times, and I put myself in some very dangerous situations that I'm thankful that I made it out of. But I know countless people who haven't made it out. Just the people that I've personally met, I couldn't count them on both hands, the people that I know personally that have died as a direct result of drug and alcohol abuse. Not symptoms or something, you know, a result of it. I'm talking directly caused by drug use. The people that have gotten sick or gone to jail are innumerable. I know people 18, 19, 20 years old that now are trying to live the right type of lifestyle, but they've got to live the rest of their life with hepatitis that they've given themselves from using drugs and needles. And regardless of how good of a lifestyle they try to live now, they've got to deal with that consequence for the rest of their lives. I talk to a lot of people that are older and they suffer with medical problems, that even though they haven't drank in years now, they still, their health is declining and they will die as a result of their drinking, even if they stop drinking. The way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is the way to a misspent life. And we'll turn over to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 8 on that point. Proverbs chapter 22:8 says, "He that soweth iniquity shall reap vanity, and the rod of his anger shall fail." We reap what we sow. So the way of the transgressor is the way of death. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, but shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." And of course, we know of those that have heard the gospel and hardened their neck to it. They hold a grudge against anybody that's a member of the church. They hold a grudge against the church. They don't want anything to do with it. And usually their lives don't improve once they leave the church. But again, even if they do, it doesn't really matter. It won't eternally. But I was reading an article. Another preacher told of a guy that had left the church. He was angry. A couple years later, they heard that he had been in an accident. He went out swimming, jumped off a pier, and broke his neck, was paralyzed from the neck down, and ended up dying in the hospital cursing God. And so there's people out there that live that sinful life, and they go on to live it until the bitter end, cursing God. Roland Hill, another preacher, he's a famous British preacher, he saw a herd of pigs following a man to the slaughterhouse. And Roland Hill asked the guy, he said, "How do you get those pigs to follow you whenever you're about to go kill them?" And the guy said, "Well, I just carry a basket of beans with me, and I drop a few as I walk, and the pigs follow the trail, eating their way to the slaughterhouse." And oftentimes, that's the same way the devil is. The devil is great at distracting us. He's great at stringing us along. He drops us a few beans. And one sin leads to another, leads to another, leads to a lifetime of sin, and before we know it, it's too late. John chapter 8, verse 34, talks about being servants of sin. John chapter 8, verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and Romans chapter 6, verse 16. We'll just read Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Expand on that. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, "Know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" And there in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about sin leading to death as well. The way of the transgressor is hard, and the way of the transgressor is the way that leads to death. And ultimately, the way of the transgressor is going to be a hard way to face judgment. People that are living those sinful lifestyles act like they're never going to have to give an answer for the way that they're living. They act like God's not going to require them to tell Him why they live that type of lifestyle. But when they come to the end of their life, of course, we know they're going to come face to face with the judge. We can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. First Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. First Corinthians 6, verse 9. "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, and ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so God's going to know everything about us. He knows every sin that we've ever committed, every unrepentant sin that we've ever committed. He's got a complete record of everything we've ever done in our entire lives. The Bible tells us that we can be sure that our sins will find us out, whether in this life or in eternity. We will all face judgment one day. 2 Corinthians, over one book, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 10 tells us that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. And so do we want to face the judgment knowing that we've done everything we could to serve God, or do we want to face the judgment knowing that Jesus died for our sins on the cross, and that we neglected that, that we've neglected God's word, and then stand before God and tell him why? Be able to be ready to give him an answer, a good answer, as to why we decided to ignore his word. I think that'd be pretty hard. The way of the transgressor is hard, and it's going to be a hard day for the transgressor during judgment. So, what's the remedy? There's only one. There's two choices. The way of the transgressor, the way of the righteous. So turn with me to John, 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins." So as we've looked at, the way of the transgressor is going to produce bitter adversity. Many have spent their entire lives in search of worldly pleasure and large estates, giant amounts of money, bright and intelligent individuals, abilities have been squandered in search of worldly pleasure. The way of the transgressor ultimately and oftentimes ends in the disgrace of its victims. How many people have had to retire in as a recluse because of the scourge that they've brought on their name? People that have lost their reputation, lost a good name that they spent their life working for. The way of the transgressor causes anguish. Go to any county jail, go to the prisons, see the anguish that the way of the transgressor has caused for so many people. Go to the institutions, the hospitals, see the people that are there because of their own choices, and see how much anguish the way of the transgressor causes. People are suffering, they're dying, they've given themselves diseases, all because of their transgressions. The way of the transgressor causes premature and oftentimes awful deaths. We can even look at biblical examples of that. Pharaoh, King Saul, Judas, Ananias, and Sapphira. And then take a look at our own time. Drug-related deaths, drug-related homicides, criminal activity related to gangs, gang violence, murders, executions, home invasions gone wrong resulting in death. The way of the transgressor is hard, and ultimately is going to carry its victims into eternal sorrow. The wages of sin is death, and that's eternal death. But all the suffering in the world, all the crime, all the agony, is just a drop in the bucket compared to the agony that they're going to experience in eternity in hellfire. And so when we look at the way of the transgressor, we need to look at it with dread, we need to look at it with alarm, and we need to run the other way. Think before we take a single step down the way of the transgressor and run from it as fast as we can towards God. And we've got to remember that in the eyes of God, there's only two ways. You're either a righteous saint, or you're an unrighteous sinner destined for hellfire. There's no middle road. We can't straddle the fence. We can't be indifferent. We've got to make a choice. And so which road are you on? We can recall there in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, that the blood of Christ will cleanse us from sin. That's the answer. That's the remedy. We can turn from our sins, turn to Jesus, confess that we have sinned, and trust in Him to forgive us of those sins. He made that sacrifice there on the cross for us to pay for the sins that we've committed. He rose from the dead. Now He's in heaven, and He's building us a mansion that is going to dwarf anything we can imagine here on earth. And so if we haven't, if you haven't, hear, you've heard, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And if you've done that, if you've obeyed the gospel, that you've been traveling down the way of the transgressor and you want to get off the way, turn to righteousness. Turn from the way of the transgressor. Follow after Jesus. Come now as we stand and as we sing.